13, Revelation 13, as we continue our study, the guided tour of the end of the world. We're going to begin reading in verse 15 of Revelation 13. And he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, of the number of his or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, we have looked and been looking at I want to remind you that we're in a parenthetical pause between judgments. We've looked at the one of the beasts. Well, we looked at the dragon, and we looked at the beast that came out of the waters. We said that was a Gentile. We said that we looked at the beast that came out of the earth, and that was going to be a Jew. And together, those three make up the unholy Trinity. And we've arrived at a passage of Scripture tonight that has caused more speculation than probably any other, even through the other passages that we have looked at and most probably will look at in all of Revelation. Centuries, people have been trying to decipher the mark of the beast. There are some that actually fear the number 666. And while there are others in our decadent society that embrace that number for the exact same reason. I don't know if you've ever bought something or been in the store and had your total come out to $6.66. But that's happened to me once or twice. And I don't know how your cashier reacts, but it doesn't faze me a whole lot. But it is a witnessing opportunity. But people will say things like, well, do you want me to add an extra penny to that? Or maybe discount that a penny. But the truth of the matter is, the number itself is not evil. It's simply a representation or even an icon. That word is used in our passage tonight. But there's a lot of speculation concerning what that mark of the beast is all about. I almost felt compelled to pass it right on by and go right to chapter 14, but I thought that'd be doing a disservice. So we thought we better spend some time looking at it tonight. The verses, I think, give us some of the information. This passage of Scripture helps to elucidate what the mark of the beast is. It gives us some information. We need to understand just what the mark of the beast is. Now, we're not going to learn and understand everything we'd like to know about it when we leave tonight. But I think that we can learn enough to know that no Christian in this room needs to be afraid of the number 666. So let's look at these few verses tonight. And hopefully that we'll be able to get rid of some of the mystery surrounding the mark of the beast. And so I'd like to just preach a message tonight, teach a lesson tonight, simply called the mark. The mark. Now, I can remember reading not that long ago when barcodes first came out, everyone thought, that was any sort of evangelical thought, that this could be the mark of the beast. I mean, you can put it on something. Those barcode numbers are nationwide, sometimes worldwide now, with the some thought that we would have them inked on or tattooed right onto our skin, and then people would have to scan their hand or something on their face in order to be able to have or buy or sell, or just as the Bible says, the mark of the beast. Do you know there are some tattoos that are invisible to be seen unless you put it under the right sort of infrared light or those black lights? I can remember taking the teenagers to a place when I was a youth pastor, and to get out, we had to get stamped with something. But when I stamped my hand, I could feel that it was wet, but when I looked, I couldn't see anything. But when we went to go back in, I had to put my hand under one of those purple lights, and bright as day, it had a mark on my hand that could not be seen with the naked eye, but it certainly could be seen under the right conditions. Obviously, you understand that in today's technology, we have RFID chips that are the size of a grain of rice. And I can remember many years ago, 15, 18 years ago, it wasn't uncommon for people to put one of these RFID chips into an animal and be able to identify their animal. So if you had a purebred of some sort, if it was of some value, now it wasn't at that time a locating device, but if somebody found an animal that had this RFID chip in it, they could take it into the vet, they'd scan it, and all your information would be right in that chip. So medical technology has far surpassed that. I can remember not 18 years ago, but about 10 or 8 years ago, somebody had decided that they wanted to put an RFID chip into their hand, the web of their hand, and they connected it to their door so that it unlocked their door. They connected it to their financial different things, and it's not very smart. An RFID is just simply putting out a frequency, and anything that is a frequency can be reproduced. So I say all that to say we don't know what the mark of the beast is. It could be this, or it could be that. And certainly medical technology today has made it and opened up the Pandora's box of a multitude of things that John couldn't even have possibly thought about in his day, or even our grandparents could have thought in their day, and quite possibly something that we can't even comprehend or think about in our day, should the Lord tarry. But whether it's a tattoo or some kind of chip or some kind of retina scanner that we are starting to see even on our phones, we just know that there's enough resources in this world today that the mark is going to be something very specific. You realize that cash even is becoming less and less prevalent in our society today. I don't know if you're like me, you've been stuck out somewhere and needed some money, some literal cash, and you look in your wallet and you see plastic. Well, that's been great in some places, but not so great when you need actual cash. But there's been some that have suggested that it's going to be a credit card system. I joked the other day saying that this mark of the beast will either be in your right hand or on your forehead. But I didn't make any prophecy of what it could have been, okay? But I'm just saying there's a multitude of people that are guessing a multitude of things, but it didn't start in our generation. They've been guessing for hundreds and hundreds of years. We have national identifications already. I do not have it on my driver's license yet, but if you do any sort of traveling, they want to have a national driver's license or a national ID of some sort. Passport or something that is linked to your identification so that when you go to the airport, they can identify you not just in your state or have to get into the state registry, which they do, by the way, but to have a federal database. You know, not only that, but there are this idea of facial recognition now. I know these are older statistics, but these are what I've read in the past, and I couldn't find latest and greatest statistics on this. But 10 years ago, it was said that you were being photographed or videoed at least 6 times a day, no matter where you were or what you're doing. Obviously, that would go up if you were in an urban area. But can I tell you, with every doorbell that is a video doorbell now, and security cameras and cameras that are on lights and cameras that are on the street corners and cameras that are in every store, that we have no idea how often we're being videoed. You say, what's the big deal? Well, I can remember when Google Glass first came out. It was a pair of glasses that you could see writing on. And Google said they gave them to developers. They never made it to mass market, and I'm about to tell you why. Because they said you can do all of these different things, but the one thing you cannot do is facial recognition with it. So the first person that got a pair, or one of the first developers, the first thing they did was they hacked into the software and they put on facial recognition. And it would recognize somebody and pull up their Facebook account and their Twitter feed. And boy, you could just walk up to somebody and act as if you know them. All I'm saying is there's technology out there, and it's only getting more advanced. But there's going to be something that is mandatory. The idea is that it's a mark of specification. It's a specific mark that's going to be given. I want you to think about the jurisdiction. All right, you want to? Do you know how to turn the projector on? Oh, it's on. I'm not connected. Okay. I'm just going to throw everybody else under the bus while I try to get my act together up here. All right. It's a mark of specification. You ever think about the jurisdiction of the mark? Look back in verse 15. It says, and hath power to give life. Remember, we said that was actually breath, not living. He doesn't have power to give life, but certainly to imitate life, to give breath to the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would, just that, as many as would. Listen, that causeth, in verse 16 it says, and he causeth all, both small and great. That word cause carries with it the idea to make or force to do something. We're told that people of every class are going to be required to wear this mark on their body. And everyone, from the most common person, the street sweeper, to the people that are in government, celebrities, famous people, unknown people, are all going to have to bear this mark in their bodies. I mean, it is a universal mark. You know, this will probably be the first time in the world where there's not going to be favoritism or discrimination. Every person from the lowliest, humblest origins, and whether that's in Papua New Guinea where the childs are, where they don't have anything, they'll have to get it. Right up until developed countries like in what we live, everyone is going to have to get that mark. There's no one outside the jurisdiction of the beast. I want you to think about the juxtaposition of the mark. It's in the right hand or their foreheads. And it's either going to be placed in their hand or the forehead, but the word mark here comes from the idea meaning to stamp an imprint or something that is carved. So whatever it is, it's going to reside, I believe, on or in the flesh, and it's going to be permanent. It's not going to be something that can be altered or changed. It's going to be placed where it can be easily accessed. And so whether you're coming or going, if it's just flashing, I saw Brother Smith today, but when I saw him last week, he was still in ICU. Praise the Lord, he's not in ICU now. But when you leave ICU, you used to have to press these buttons that would automatically open the door. But they've done away with those now, and all you have to do is just wave your hand in front of it, just a motion. And so whatever it is, if it's a chip or a mark or an ink or a tattoo, it's going to be something that I believe correlates very well with technology. And technology is only moving in biometrics so much faster, I believe, than the rest of technology today. We see the jurisdiction, no one's outside, the juxtaposition, where it's going to be, And then the jurist or the judge of the mark. Look at verse 17. It says, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. Now the he in verse 17, it says the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, the his in verse 17 refers to the false prophet. If you remember, we said, we kind of borrowed from Adrian Rogers and said that he is the sinister minister of propaganda. And he is running the one world religion. And he is causing everyone to face and worship the Antichrist. He's going to devise that marking system. And he's going to see to it that it is carried out. Think of the size and scope of the businesses that we have today. I mean, it used to be that a business, for it to be global, just communication was a challenge and leadership was a challenge. But I think of things like Amazon. There are missionaries that we support or that are even out of our church that can order off of Amazon just the same as you and I and have it delivered to their doorstep. And so the technology is unbelievable to just think about the... But Amazon is the one that gets to set what that barcode is, if you will. They get to decide how their computers relate to that. And I'm just saying that to say that the false prophet, the one that's going to be in charge of that, has that technology at his hands already. So you can go anywhere in the world with certain barcodes and be recognized as that product number. But I want you to think about what was happening in John's day. You see, what would happen is in the Roman world, there were millions of slaves, and a slave would be marked by his master with either a brand or a tattoo. And it was a symbol or a number. We do the same with horses today when we brand them. And they have their mark, and it's identifiable to that specific ranch. But Roman law in those days, it was worship of the emperor was compulsory. And so what they would have to do is they would have to take some incense or some salt and put it in a fire, and they would say not Caesar is king, but they would have to say Caesar is God. And Christians of that day refused to do it, and many died. But I'm going to tell you that there's coming a day where Christians are going to be compelled again to call some other being, some other human, not other human, but a human rather than God of the Bible, and say that that person is God, and to worship them. By the way, simply taking the mark is a form of worship to that false prophet, to the man of perdition, and it is blasphemy to God. It's a very specific mark, but it is a mark of solitude as well. I want you to think about the dominion of this solitude. It is tied to the economy, and people are going to be required to have this in order to buy or to sell anything. Not some things, but this is a great enticement for people to go out and get that mark. You know, I've noticed with Christians, oftentimes we are on fire for the Lord and we're ready for revival, but then when something happens to us financially, we start asking questions like, well, where is God in all of this? Or if something happens to our health, when there is an inconvenience, we sometimes have our faith shaken a little bit. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day where those that get saved during this tribulation time are going to have to make a decision for personal comfort or to worship Almighty God. You know, I think that we are not placed in that position. We don't, thankfully, we're not under persecution. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I still think that if our faith is tied simply to our circumstances, then we need a deeper and more meaningful walk with the Lord. Think about what it would mean that you cannot buy anything. You can't sell anything except with that mark. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a number, an identification number. You'll be able to put in and have your account with Amazon or whatever it might be, but without that code, without that identification number, without that mark, you'll not be able to buy anything. Well, you say, well, I don't use Amazon, so I'm all right. Well, I want you to think about the mother that needs formula for her baby, or the man that needs medicine for his wife. There is no buying and selling without that mark. There's no exceptions. That means no gas, or maybe families that have no utilities even. Just think about the things that you spend your money on. You wouldn't be able to spend it. We say, great, I'd be able to save it. No, it wouldn't be any good to you at all. This mark is going to cause those that refuse it to be isolated, and it'll be a world of solitude because they're not going to be in with the rest of society. I think today about Christians that come from different backgrounds, whether Muslim or Jewish or even Asian, when Japanese get saved, they are excluded from the rest of the family. Well, listen, it's terrible to be pushed away from your own family. But when you have no other options, you have no other way to even provide sustenance, you can understand how people that have a misunderstanding of the tribulation period are now setting up farms and bunkers and being preppers for the last day. Why? Because they realize that, listen, I'm not going to take the mark, and I want to be able to buy and sell, or I want to be able to raise my own food. Listen, all that's a misunderstanding, though. We're not going to be here for that. If you're born again, you're not going to go through any of the tribulation. But if you have a misunderstanding of the when, you could understand why somebody would be so determined to be self-sufficient and off the grid, because one day there will be no hope to buy or sell without this. But I want you to think about not only the dominion of the mark, but the domination of this solitude. The Antichrist is going to use the mark of the beast to absolutely control the world. Everything in the world during the tribulation is going to be controlled. We've already seen it's commerce. That means food and housing and medicine and medical care is all going to be dispensed only to those who have the mark of the beast. Now, let me tell you, somebody that has that kind of power is going to use it. It'll give the Antichrist instant power over every person in the world. I found this illustration. It said a man who had lived under Bulgaria's communist regime remarked, "You cannot understand and you cannot know that the most terrible instrument of persecution ever devised is an innocent ration card. Cannot buy, you cannot sell, except according to that little innocent card. If they please, you can be starved to death. And if they please, you can be dispossessed of everything you have, for you cannot trade, and you cannot buy, and you cannot sell without permission." I want you to think about the danger of this solitude. There are going to be many who refuse this mark. We're going to read again about the 144,000, the Jewish evangelists. They're not going to take it. Those that are saved under their ministry are not going to take that mark. There's going to be, I believe, literally millions of people around the world who refuse to bow to the beast or his icon. They're going to reject the ministry of the false prophet. They're going to see through it all, and they're going to say and keep their loyalty to the Almighty God of heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. They are going to pay a dear, drastic price for their fidelity to Almighty God. But they're going to do it. They're going to stay faithful. The Bible tells us as much. Now, I want you to think about that for just a second. I want you to think about the possibility of dying for the cause of Christ simply because you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Think about the persecution that we receive in America today. Let's think about it. Well, they're threatening at some point to stop giving tax advantages to charitable giving. Yeah, I'm not sure that really mounts up to the idea of persecution. I realize that there are some ideas of laws that are going to be passed at some point that make some of the things that we preach hate speech to the world. Isn't it interesting? You tell somebody the truth about what God has said and is considered hate. But even that, we're not there. We don't have anything close to persecution in America. By the way, I'm thankful for that. I'm not one of those preachers that says, Lord, give us the persecution so we can get rid of the chaff. You know what I do say, though, is why don't we get a fervent zeal for the things of the Lord before He needs to send persecution to us? The people are going to be hunted down. They're going to be killed because of their refusal. But I will tell you that they're going to be rewarded greatly for their faithfulness. God's no debtor to man. It's a mark of specification. It is certainly a mark of solitude. But it's a mark that makes a statement. It makes a statement. First of all, in verses 17 and 18 that we read, it gives the name of the beast. We're told that the mark is tied to a number and it's tied to the name of the beast. Now, this has led to some incredibly comical or at least entertaining speculation over the years. Now, in ancient times, the number values often were, not often, but they were attached to the Greek and Hebrew letters. And so using what is known as gematria, which is an ancient form of numerology, a number is assigned to each letter in the alphabet. So then these letters are used to seek hidden meanings in words. And the people who believe that about these things, they believe that the numerical equivalents in names and words, they're not by accident. It's not just a coincidence, but they're providential. And so the beast's name, when it's known, they believe will yield the number 666. So people have used this system to propose many different possibilities as to who the Antichrist might be. I was going to give several examples, but I mean, I've read everything from Adolf Hitler to Stalin to Bill Clinton, and I might add a couple in there myself in between those. But I think even somebody wanted to figure out how Ronald Reagan could have been that person. I did read where there was a movement in some evangelical circles that believed Gorbachev was because of the birthmark that he had on his head. The truth of the matter is simply this. We don't know who the Antichrist is. And we can do all sorts of numerical gymnastics, but we're still going to be completely in the dark concerning his identity. But here is what I do know, that those people that get saved during the tribulation, those that are in that time period are going to know exactly who he is and exactly what that mark is for. When he appears, they'll be able to identify the Antichrist. Not only does it give the number value, but it reveals the nature. We talked about the nature of the beast a few weeks ago, but the beast's number is the number of a man. His number is 666. Six in the Bible is the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. And the number, by the way, for those of you that are mathematically challenged, is just shy of seven. All right? So six is just shy of seven. And that's why it is the number of man. The number seven is a number of perfection or completion in the Bible. Now, I'll tell you, I'm not big on numerology because people can really get lost in the weeds on that. But there are some that are distinct in the Bible. And certainly, we're told right here that the number six is the number of man. And we do know that the number of seven is the number of perfection. And so, when we think about everything that Satan does, it always falls short of what God can do. And everything that Satan does is an imitation of what God can do. And so, if I want to just throw my hat in the ring of crazy conspiratorial things, I would just say this, that it, in my opinion, in my judgment, if I could say, so I'm stepping away from the pulpit for just a second, but I could see easily that God is just simply telling us that he is falling short of the glory of God, just like each and every one of us do. And maybe it could be that we've just been introduced to the false prophet and the Antichrist and Satan making that unholy trinity. And rather than 777, the number of perfection of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we have the number of imperfection falling short of the glory of God, representing the unholy Trinity. So rather than trying to write a bestseller based on information that we don't have, information, quite honestly, at this point in the time of history, we don't need, let's just say that God knows. And he has given that as an identifier to be a warning to say that Satan and his minions will always come short of the glory and the power of Almighty God. You know, the Antichrist will be the pinnacle of human achievement. I think he's going to be the brightest, the most powerful human the world has ever seen outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be a remarkable man. But he's still going to be a man. He'll fall short. There are some terrible days coming to this earth. Now I'm thankful that you and I are not going to be here to see them. But there are going to be people that get saved through the tribulation, and they'll have to make a decision whether to take a stand for that which is right and have terrible consequences, or just go with the flow of the world and have ease for a while. We'll talk about this later, but in the very next chapter, it says that anyone that gets saved is going to experience the wrath of God. And so it's not about losing salvation. It's about never truly having it. But understand that there are consequences for going along with the world, and that's God's displeasure. Let me make this application just very quickly to us here today. And that is simply, we are given a choice every day whether or not we're going to go along with the world and love the things of the world and be a part of the world system, even though we don't need a mark to buy and sell, we voluntarily jump into the world system. I want to just encourage you today to put on the brakes and consciously make a choice to take a stand and do right and be faithful to God. Thankfully, we don't have that persecution. But that should be all the more reason that we take a stand. There is really no detrimental effect, and all it does is enhance our relationship with God. And so, don't wait for persecution to be faithful to the Lord. Take a stand, even tonight, and say, Lord, help me, by your grace, to be found faithful. All right, I'm going to ask the men to come at this time.